Just a couple of announcements to remind you of in your bulletin, and they're towards the back. Please read the announcement about the cancellation of our ministry in Poland. Due to unfortunate circumstances, that has been canceled this year. Next Sunday, Pastor Jim Ratzliff will be here and will be speaking in the service. There are also some dates highlighted on the bottom of page 7 for the members about important meetings upcoming, so please remember that. And we welcome some of you back who have been away for a while, and we welcome Clara back, who had a very good time away but sadly returned and her sister passed away. And so we want to remember Clara in these coming days and pray for God's comfort in her life. Well, let's take a look again into the Gospel of Mark. There was a 15-year-old boy who, being very hungry at the end of the day, found his mother in bed and was suddenly seized with concern. "Mom, are you sick or something?" Well, as a matter of fact, his mother replied weakly, "I'm not feeling too well." "I'm sorry, Mom," the boy responded with furrowed brow. After a brief pause, he then added, "Don't you worry a bit about dinner. I'm getting pretty big now, and I'll be happy to carry you down to the stove." Now today, as we've said, is our annual celebration of Mother's Day. And sadly, mothers often do not get a break. Mothers often experience frustrations at the hands of toddlers and teenagers. And sometimes not just at the hands of children. There was a beleaguered young mom who enrolled in a class called Organizing Your Life. After hearing many organizing tips, she asked, "But how do you get your kids to help clean up? I have two young children, and it's usually easier to just clean up by myself. That way, I know where things are and they get put away right. But I feel frustrated about that." Well, there was another woman in the class who offered an answer. In answer, she said, "In our house, we use a butler box. Whenever something is left lying around the house where it doesn't belong, even if it's car keys or a wallet, it gets put into a large wooden box that we call the butler box. Then, if anyone is looking for something that's lost and finds it in the butler box, he can't just grab it out. He has to do 5 minutes of chores around the home to get the object back." "Well, what a clever idea," the first woman said. "How old were your children when you started that?" "Children?" the second woman answered. "We don't have any children. This is for my husband." Now, to mothers listening today, and really to anyone who encounters frustration, I want you to know that even someone as perfect as Jesus experienced frustration. Now, we often don't reflect upon the fact that Jesus had emotions. But in the Gospel of Mark, we see that Mark is not adverse or embarrassed to reveal the emotional side of Jesus' personality. This morning, as we review the frustrations of the servant, I believe we can glean some suggestions to help us the next time we feel frustrated. I'm going to offer to you 3 suggestions today. They are: when you feel frustrated, persevere, be patient, and press pause. Now, I'd like us to consider, first of all, Mark chapter 3. And if you would look there and follow as I read verses 4 and 5. Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Now, I've already spoken in detail about this passage, but let me simply remind you that Jesus, just as God in the Old Testament, often became angry or indignant. Jesus' anger, it was not sinful because it was a proper response to things that violate the holiness of God. Now, in this particular encounter, the religious leaders elevated the keeping of man-made rules over the responsibility to be compassionate and to help people in need. As a result, Jesus was deeply distressed, deeply hurt, deeply disappointed, and deeply frustrated because the people had stubborn hearts. Now, to describe the people here as having stubborn hearts is to say that they possessed a willful disobedience or rejection. They did not have a simple or innocent misunderstanding, but they had made a deliberate choice. Now, mothers and others, how often have you experienced willful disobedience from a child or rejection by others? You have every right in such situations to experience frustration and maybe even anger. However, these emotions must motivate you to respond in the same manner that Jesus responded. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus proceeded to love the man with the disabled hand and grant him a miracle, regardless of how others tried to limit what Jesus should or could do, regardless of the opposition he received. Now, the miracle is not performed out of a sense of joy, but rather out of a sense of frustration. We could call it compassionate frustration. But the miracle is performed. Jesus is determined to not allow his emotions to immobilize him. I think here from Jesus' example, we see the value of perseverance. We must keep on loving and serving, even when it is not easy, even when we do not feel like doing so. You see, if you will only love and serve others when it is easy or when you feel like it, you will miss out on many opportunities to bring help and healing to others. Now, regardless of circumstances, Jesus' default was always tenderness over tradition, love over laws, compassion over codes, righteousness over rituals, and when necessary, anger over stubbornness and unbelief and injustice. So, mothers and others, sometimes The best response to frustration is to simply persevere. Accept your emotions of frustration or anger, but nevertheless choose to persevere and keep on loving. Choose to persevere and keep on helping, no matter how you feel. I'd next like us to consider a passage in Mark chapter 7. So just go ahead a couple of pages to Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Now, I'm going to speak on this particular text in more detail in a couple of weeks. But just let me summarize. In this particular teaching moment, Jesus indicated that obedience results from a love of God from the heart. He indicated that keeping rules by following Jewish or any other cultural, traditional, dietary laws does not make or keep a person pure or holy or more acceptable before God. Fellowship with God is not secured by outward behaviors, but by an inward change of the heart that then motivates or conditions behavior. But to the point of today's message, notice in verse 18, Jesus' incredulous rhetorical question, "Are you so dull?" The disciples have been observing Jesus' behavior, and they have been listening to his teaching, and yet they simply don't get it. They're dull, dense. They don't get it. I suspect mothers and others, you know the experience. You've said to your child, "If I've told you once, I've told you a million times." Or, "Why can't you get this simple concept through your thick skull?" Others of us have said or we have thought about our work colleagues, such things as, "He's a few bricks short of a full load," or, "She's not the brightest light in the harbor." Matter of fact, such feelings of frustration must be very common because I came across a website that lists 240 similar sayings. For example, "The light's on, but no one's home." "Not the brightest bulb in the box." "Not the sharpest knife in the drawer." "A few cards short of a full deck." "A few fries short of a happy meal." "About as sharp as a marble." smart as a bag of rocks, a burger short of a combo meal. The elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. The gates are down and the lights are flashing, but the train isn't coming. Fell out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down. Now, our sarcasm can be taken way too far, and it can damage relationships. But I am quite certain that you have been so frustrated with another person that you have said or you have at least thought such things. Why are you so dull? Jesus is surprised and frustrated over the disciples' inability to understand, and he calls them dull or dense. Now, in our mouths, such a declaration would likely be construed as biting criticism, but in the mouth of Jesus, it is incredulous statement of fact. The disciples are dull. They do lack understanding. And Jesus is frustrated. But rather than letting his frustration turn him away from his disciples, it motivates him to patiently explain that which should not have needed explaining. Now, whenever you encounter situations in which a child or a colleague frustrates you, do not turn away, but recognize that you are being presented the opportunity to exercise patience. And with patience in hand, you can clarify or explain or discover a solution, but it will take patience. Last year, there was a news article which reported on what appeared to be the misfortunes of a newly married couple. Now, you know the familiar, the common scenario. The wedding ceremony takes place in one location, and then the guests and the wedding party hop into their cars and they take a quick trip to the reception venue. Well, after their wedding ceremony, Jeff and Rebecca Payne left for the reception. They left along with the rest of the guests, and they quickly found themselves in a major traffic jam. They were parked on the highway for an hour, not moving an inch. Now, I don't know, because it wasn't reported, what any of the conversations in the vehicle might have been about, but I can imagine the thoughts or the words along the lines of, why didn't you, or if thinking, why didn't he check the traffic report first? Why did you choose this particular route? What kind of planning is this? How could you get us into this mess? There could have been a lot of brewing, a lot of boiling over of frustrations. But then something very interesting happened. After being parked on the highway for an hour, a couple of drivers in surrounding parked cars had, quote, noticed the wedding dress and asked what the couple would be doing if they were not stuck in traffic. And they came up with a creative idea. How about having the first dance of their married life right there on the highway? Jeff and Rebecca thought about it for a moment and decided to do it. Getting out of their car, and they began dancing to an Alison Krauss song, which another bystander played on Spotify. Another bystander filmed the dance. And she said about the newlyweds, quote, they were two sports. They handled the whole thing so well. They did great. The dance turned it into a party. A party there stuck in a traffic jam. Rather than let frustration get the best of them, the couple's unconventional first dance was a creative response and hopefully the prelude to a happily ever after. Now, Jesus, rather than letting the frustration over dull disciples get the best of him, turned the event into a creative teaching moment. And I'll unpack that in my next sermon a little bit. But he was patient. He clarified and he explained. He found a positive response to a frustrating moment. And so mothers and others, when you get stuck in a jam with your kids or with your colleagues, when you're not making any headway, not even inching forward, one of your best responses will be to practice patience. Be patient and explain again, and if necessary, again and again. Finally, I would like us to take a look at Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 11 and following. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The request of the Pharisees for another sign from heaven has to be frustrating for Jesus. I mean, how many signs did the Pharisees need? Here is a group of people noted for their superior intellect and knowledge, and they should have recognized Jesus as the Christ, but they refused. Jesus had already performed the miracles of feeding large numbers of people by multiplying the bread and the fish, of healing a deaf and mute man, of casting out demons. These miracles, along with his teaching, should have been more than sufficient proof for them, but it was not. It was not enough, and they were asking for another sign, and they were asking for another sign as a test. You see, they were committed to stubbornness and rebellion, and they were trying to entrap and discredit Jesus. Now, what sign from heaven might the Pharisees have wanted? Well, they might have wanted Jesus to duplicate the Old Testament miracle of manna coming down from heaven. They might have wanted a sign from God above rather than a sign from Jesus below. They might have wanted a heavenly miracle instead of the earthly miracles being performed by Jesus. But again, as Mark notes, their request for a sign was actually a test. You see, there was no sincerity or honesty or belief in their request. The Pharisees had no interest in believing. And so Jesus sighs in frustration and he says he will not give further evidence to a group of unbelieving and stubborn people. He will not perform signs or miracles on demand. He will not respond to or bless unbelief. Jesus knows and is deeply disappointed and frustrated over the reality that these Pharisees refuse to be convinced. Nothing Jesus has done or could do would ever convince them. Their minds are made up. And so Jesus, after sighing deeply, simply leaves. He leaves them in their unbelief. And he quickly departs to the other side of the lake. Jesus knew that sometimes any more action or any more talk was useless, and so he just moved on. For Jesus, it was time to press pause. No more talking. Because talking is futile. No more action or interaction. It's simply best to leave. And that's what Jesus did. He simply left. Now, mothers and others, there may be situations or people which are so frustrating and irredeemable that the best course of action is simply to sigh and leave. You do not have to invest all of your energy or concentrate all of your focus on people who are stubborn and unwilling to bend or shift or move. Mothers and others, sometimes you simply deserve a break. Remove yourself from your frustrating or stressful situations or encounters. Make and take time for yourself. Now, I have already spoken these words of advice in my sermon on Mark 6. And the common sense approach to life that Jesus had. If you reflect upon that sermon, the simple encouragement was to get away to a quiet place and get some rest. Simply leave and get rest. An author by the name of Ellen Yinger tells about the time her daughter lost her last baby tooth, and Ellen says she was weary of playing the tooth fairy. And so she decided it was time to dispel this childhood myth. "Kelly," Ellen said, "you know how the Easter bunny is really mommy? And Santa Claus is two?" "Yes," Kelly, the daughter, answered somewhat warily. "Well," said the mother, "there's one more person who is really me. Can you guess who that is?" And slowly, Kelly's eyes grew big as saucers and her mouth dropped open. And in a small, awe-filled voice, she said, "God?" Others, and especially mothers, you are often tasked with the responsibility of being all things at all times, of being as omnipotent and omniscient as God. Your children rely on you and they expect way too much of you. It seems as though they always need or want just one more thing from you, and you are frustrated. And you may have work colleagues who always seem to need something from you, just one more thing from you, and you are prone to deep sighs. You're frustrated. It's time to press pause. Get to a quiet place and rest. Let the kids make their own lunches, insist they clean up their own rooms or wash their own clothes or fix their own cars. Mothers, today is set aside as an annual celebration of you. You deserve some quiet and rest. But one day is not an adequate response to the great role and responsibility that you have. And so may most days be for you Mother's Day. Mothers and others, learn from the experiences of the man from Galilee. Learn from the frustrations of the servant. At times, Jesus was frustrated, but he persevered. At times, Jesus was frustrated, but he exercised patience. At times, Jesus was frustrated, but he pressed pause and went away for rest. The next time you are frustrated, think about which of Jesus' responses is the best response for you. Should you persevere or be patient or press pause? Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the mothers and for all of the women in our lives, and pray that you would bless and encourage them, and I pray that you would bless and encourage all of us, especially in those encounters, those situations where we are frustrated. And teach us how to best respond in those moments of frustration. Now, as we move into our time of Holy Communion, continue to encourage us and bless us with the reality of your love and your sacrifice for us. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.